Well, good morning, saints. This is the second week. This is the week of Advent, so it is. So I've been told, and I have to tell you, I'm not in a loving mood here this time of year. The spirit of Christmas hasn't quite hit me yet, because when I look out and I see what's going on, I hear what's going on. This time of year, think back when you were, all of us with gray hair, remember those good old days. Remember those days. And contrast those days to what you see now. And then you'll probably understand why I'm kind of like, ugh. We sing peace on earth, goodwill to men. Oh, come all ye faithful. We got a nice picture of Mary and Joseph there. Then zing. What is it all about? You know, this Christmas time of year, what is it really all about? Well, you think, well, I'll just let you ponder on that. But you know, it's come to where it's almost, I kind of like dread this time of year almost. You say, oh, boy, this is off to a very exciting message. This guy is like, oh, he's depressed, kind of. Like the seasonal is sort of a little depressing. No, hold that thought. There's still hope. There's hope for me. The old saying that as time goes on, things never really change. Things never really change. They really haven't. You know, this morning, you know, I usually have a lot to say. But if you probably noticed this morning in Bible study, I was kind of silent. I didn't say much. Oh, yeah, and you guys are probably, we were praying for intercessions, those intercessory prayers. And I know you were probably praying that intercessory prayer. Please let Chuck be like he is this morning, man, a few words. See, sometimes prayer, you know, your prayers are answered, but sometimes not. But think about it. Think how far we have. Christmas has come. I remember as a child, up until I went off, until I became, you know, an adult, there was always this time of year, I was always hopeful. I was always prayerful. And even back then, not being a young adult, I believed in Santa Claus. I believed in Santa Claus. Now, think about it. Think how silly that sounds. I grew up in South Florida. There is no snow in South Florida. Where is this sled thing coming from? Flying reindeers, and there are no chimneys. How in the world is Santa going to come down a chimney that does not exist? But yet, as a child, I bought into that fantasy. And I remember asking my parents, you know, I've been a good boy. Tell Santa I've been a good boy when you talk. No, I'm perfect. Did we do that to our kids? We turn around and do the same thing. You better be good, because Santa, kids nowadays, you mean you gonna be my Santa Claus. You know, now kids, we don't say to the kids, Santa is not gonna bring you any gifts. You and I, we're gonna bring them gifts. We've removed that fantasy that we know was a fantasy, but it represented a type of hope in us. It brought us that kind of peace, that saying, even though I know, growing up as a young child, I know that there are no flying reindeers. I just know that. But I'm such a gullible person, and what that reindeer and what that Santa Claus really represented to me was hope. That I will be getting something. That's what that hope represented. Well, let us talk about this hope, and then we're going to move into peace, and what it means to you. But before, let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, this is that time of year where peace on earth, goodwill to men. Hark, the heralds, angels sing. Silent night, holy night. Oh, my God, at this time, on this day that you have set aside that we can come here and fellowship one with another, that we can come here and praise you, our God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. I just ask and pray in Jesus' precious name, O God, that the moments we spend here today, the words that are spoken here today, let them prick each and every heart present. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, what does that second week means? And so peace, central theme of the Advent season, but the main focus of the second week of Advent. One of the prophecies about Jesus called him the Prince of Peace. And we read about that in our first reading today over in Isaiah 6:9. The angels appeared to the shepherds. They ended their message by saying, glory to God in the highest heavens and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. And over there in Luke 2:14, when Simeon saw baby Jesus in the temple, he thanked God and that he could now die in peace, for he had seen the Messiah. Now over there in Luke 2:29-33. But on a broader level, the Bible talks in various places about a spiritual war going on, and I'll talk about that, between goodness and evils, or powers and principalities over in Ephesians. The combination of Satan fighting against goodness and humans fighting against God has made the earth a battleground in an ongoing fight. You know, Jesus, think about it, folks. You better think real hard about this. Why would God allow a baby to be born knowing that he's going to spend a very short time on this earth? Mothers, you know, we often say in the military, mothers do not send their sons off to wars. Fathers will. Mothers won't. But why did God allow the birthing of a child, knowing that eventually he is going to be sacrificed for us sinners? Why? Merry Christmas. Let's get into Merry Christmas. Why would he do that? And so, what does peace really mean? In Hebrew, the word is shalom. Throughout the Bible, shalom is used in several ways. When people are feeling physically well, others say to them, they are shalom, Genesis. When people who have shalom with God have his protection and blessings over in Numbers. When people have friendships with each other or have recently reconciled, such as when the 11 tribes of Israel ended a feud with the tribe of Benjamin over in Judges, have shalom with each other. And so the question becomes, is peace on earth? It really becomes, what is the peace that you seek? Huh? What is that peace that you seek? You know, about the birth of Jesus. Think about it for a second. Think about this. I want you to conjure up an image in your mind of the birth of Christ. Conjure it up. Here you have the birth. Looks very peaceful, doesn't it? Nice light. Baby born in a manger. Of all places. Really born like in a barn. I've never met a clean barn. All kinds of things running around. But hold that image. But on a broader scale, we say peace, the Prince of Peace, over there in Isaiah, peace on earth. And then Simeon dying. So I have seen my Savior. I can now die in peace. So what is that peace that we seek? What is that peace that we're talking about? Now, there's a couple of types of peace, if you will, that peace. Well, there's personal peace. And personal peace over the years as I've gotten older, personal peace for me is acquired when I go into my own kingdom called the bathroom and I sit on my own throne. is at peace. Why? Children are gone. The wife is watching some sitcom. I can sit and rest in peace. Oh, life is good. That's peace. You know, and then on the job. Oh, some of us have jobs where, oh, geez, these knuckleheads. Oh, I need rest. I need peace from them as well. You know, some of you say, yeah, going to work, except for perhaps you. Wouldn't it be something, you know, if your cows come and say, oh, good, here he comes. There's so much. As, oh, wouldn't it? No. Peace. And then, uh-oh, those of us that have children, 18 years, no rest, no peace. They didn't allow it. It was not allowed. And so for the young families, good luck. It will come. And then the peace of having friends or the like thereof. Now, usually we will, oh, commercial break. Commercial break. This is a dart. I found it under the chairs, and I said, oh, that's very appropriate. Throwing darts, darts. But no, I'm not going to launch any darts at you today. Maybe later on. And so this peace that we seek are all kinds of peace. And then I can take all of these types of peace, and I can put it into two groups. You know, one group that I call like cheap peace. The cheap peace or the easy peace is the peace that a lot of us kind of ask for. It's a piece that's associated with when we want to don't rock the boat, when we will say things or, you know, or not do things because we don't want to upset anyone. We won't tell the whole truth. We won't, because we're afraid that it will destroy this imaginary peace that we have. And then there is what I call the difficult peace. The difficult peace is that peace when it's the complete opposite. When the truth has to be known, where you have to rock the boat a little bit. But in the end, that is everlasting peace. When the truth is out there, you know, all the turbulence will subside when the truth finally hits. When that truth finally hits, that true ultimate peace that we all seek, we already have, but sometimes we're in denial. This time of year, hopefully, it sparks what real peace is all about. That real peace that comes from knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what that birth really represents. Everything else is secondary. Secondary. I have told you these things that so that in me you may have peace. In me, you may have peace. That birth is a symbolic beginning of our peace. Now hold that thought, and I'm gonna circle back to that a little bit later on. And you will indeed go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Prince of Peace. Well, let's rock. I say, don't rock the boat. Let's start rocking. Let's start rocking the boat a little bit, shall we? And so, Isaiah 6, our first reading, coming out of Isaiah 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is Isaiah talking. Unto us a child will be born. Of his greatness, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, hold that thought. You're holding a lot of thoughts today, because I'm going to circle around and then I'm going to knock you out. Just a little bit. It'll be a nice, it'll be a nice little knockout. And here it comes, the first jab. Boop, boop, boop. Two jabs. Behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. I'll read a little bit. This is John over in Revelations. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant. And she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Women in here that have given birth, did you like it? I've never met a woman in my days that said, oh, you know, the labor and delivery was such a great feeling. Can we do it again? Shove the infant back in the birth canal. I want to do it. It is such a good thing. I've never met one. No. They all say, it was a painful experience. Painful. In fact, I used to have an attending when I was in medical school. She turned to us guys and says, men, never ever, talking to us guys, she says, never ever tell a pregnant woman going through the delivery that you know how she feels. Or you could have a bedpan coming at you very quickly. Giving birth. So, and I would imagine in that barn, if you will, the birth of Jesus is a natural birth that I don't know how it feels. I have no idea, but every woman in this room that has given birth has a pretty good idea of what Mary went through. I don't. Women that have given birth could probably say, yeah, I've been there. And so it's a painful process. It's a very forceful process, and there's nothing easy about it. Nothing easy. Women, help me out. There's nothing easy about this. He said, then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. Devil. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod, and her child was snatched away from the dragon that was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for roughly 1,200 days. That's a little over 3 years. This is the word, giving birth. Devil wants to destroy, take away that child. See any similarities? Remember, I went back and asked a question. Why would God allow the birth of his only son that he will later sacrifice for us? Why? Then there was a war in heaven. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to where? Here. And here we are. You know, there are two times where all of us Christians, non-Christians, you know, and a lot of heathens, we all come and we migrate to the churches. Yeah. Christmas, then April, Easter, Thanksgiving. So we come, we celebrate his birth, then forget about everything that happens in between. Then we come back together and celebrate his death and resurrection. And we pretty much ignore the middle. Most of us. But we remember these two important days. Oh, by the way, commercial break. We have, you know, we get 2 days too. We get two important times in our lives too. You know that. Your birth. And then, well, your death. And, oh yeah, we gotta go. That's a fact. Huh? We gotta go. That's a fact. But between your beginning, your birth, and your death, this peace, this hope that you've been asking for and praying for all these years, what will fill the pages between your birth and your death? What will fill those pages in between? Well, hopefully, good things. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, and they have defeated him by the blood of the of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore," and here we go, "rejoice, O heavens, rejoice, O heavens. And you who live in the heavens, rejoice." That's all of us. Hark the herald angels sing, silent night, holy night. Rejoice. The question becomes, after we've done all this rejoicing, then what? Here comes the kids. Here comes this Christmas thing. I didn't get this for Christmas. I can see the faces, some of the women's faces. I hope you got her gift, Santa. Don't look at me. I have my own problems. But after we have exchanged this gift, what is the one gift that we really need to exchange with each other? You know, I remember as a child growing up, I loved singing Christmas carols. I love getting together with people I used to beat up 3 days ago, and they used to beat me up too. When I would see adults that were, you know, they didn't get along. They just didn't. But seemed like the whole community, the whole state, looked like the entire world at that point, growing up as a child, seemed like it was more peaceful than it is now. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But it seems like in my day, Christmas didn't mean Hallmark. It didn't mean Amazon. It didn't mean spending hours and hours at the mall searching for gifts, spending, you know, a whole lot of money, only to regret it a few months. The kids, you buy them a toy, the next day it's broke, you know? So you're wasting all this money and time. In my day, it was almost a complete opposite. I got to spend some time with cousins and aunts and uncles, and we would sit around and talk about the good old days and bad days to come, if you will. But Christmas meant that birth of Jesus meant at this point in our time, that hope and that peace. You know, that tranquility of peace that comes with knowing our Lord and Savior. You know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And most of you probably, if you don't know that, you know that, well, that meant a lot. I mean, we spent many, many hours on our knees. Many, many hours on our knees. We spent many, many hours going through the Word, if you will. Particularly in the New Testament. Spent a lot of hours doing that. The whole week, neighbors would exchange gifts. People that you didn't know were cheerful to greet you. I don't see that now. That's why I'm saying, you're just being, is it a Grinch? Am I being a Grinch? I know, I'll be a Grinch for a little bit. But my point being, I know, and maybe you know this, but terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger. You're not a little anger. He's not a little mad or upset. He's really, you know, P.O.'d. Why is that? What was that birth, huh? And the songs we sing is like having two thorns in his side, if you will. We need to remember that. Remember that even though this is supposed to be a time of peace and hope, that we are supposed to love one another, not just today and tomorrow on that magical Christmas day, but that short period that Jesus spent on earth was a period of hope, peace. Knowing peace is knowing me. If you know me, you will have peace. Regardless of the worldly peace that we, you know, jobs, friends, family. But the knowledge of God is knowing the peace of God, knowing the agony of his birth, knowing the agony of his birth and what he was born for, what he was born for and what he was born to do and then die for. Merry Christmas. I wish I could be like Simeon in a way. You know, and in spite of everything that's going on, this is Simeon, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. You know, this morning in Bible study, you know, at the closing, they said, what would, you know, we all pray for somebody? We pray for somebody. You're praying for either a loved one, a relative, a friend, whatever. You're praying for somebody. You know, those intercessory prayers. And so this morning, I'm going to be a little selfish. Yes, I'm going to be a little selfish. I pray for me. Pray for me. And the words, the thought that first came to my mind was the person next to Jesus on the cross. Lord, remember me. Yeah. You know, in fact, that's going to be my prayer for the rest of this week and for the rest of this month. Blessings. Remember, 2023 is a year of blessings. You know, and I have been blessed beyond measure. And I'm giving those blessings away. But at the same time, Lord, remember me. I pray that you give me the strength, the courage, that I may share your words, that I may bring you closer. I may bring those closer to you, my God. Because you say, if I draw all men unto me, this is going to be a better place. Let me be that vessel to draw all men and women closer to you. And that means like giving birth, it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful. It's something that I say, I don't know if I'm up to the task. We don't even talk about Joseph in this case. Forget him for right now. But this is about Mary and the birth of that child. Now, one more thing. Women, you got to help me out with this. You know, us guys, you know, we don't know what it feels like to nurse a child. My anatomy and my body is not built for it. So I don't know. But I have heard that the nursing of a child between the baby and the mother, that nursing forms a huge, very powerful bond. Ladies, help me out. I don't know. I can only go by what was told to me. And I imagine that there must be some truth about that. And imagine mothers. If someone came to you and said, your child is going to be the savior of the world, what would you say? Get out of here. Get out of here. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. No, this child born in this barn, surrounded by all kind of filthy animals, is going to be what? The savior of the world? Hmm? Bible says the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. You know, I would have marveled too. I would have marveled too. But would I have believed it? Probably not. Hmm? And then over in Ephesians, the beginning of our struggles. Over the years, and then I deliberately picked Ephesians for, because I started out by saying, I just don't feel the peace. I don't have the same feelings I did when I was a child. I miss those feelings. I really do. I miss them. Now it seems to be, we go through the motions. There's no sincerity about it. There's no follow on as it relates to Christmas. There's not. It just seems like we go through the motions. It's all commercialized. And we've taken Christ out of it. After knowing what we know, that's the last thing we should be doing. Our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, and even in heavenly places. Over the next couple of weeks, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, I will remind you of your labor pains. For us guys, well, we were just spectators. I'll remind you of those labor pains. And I'll remind you of after. Now watch this. Watch how this the coin flips. So after you have given birth, mothers, things have settled down. What type of feeling did you get? What type of feelings did you have? All the pain disappeared. Gone. Every now and then you may be reminded of it, but for those precious moments afterwards, For this week and the following weeks, I want that moment. That moment. That real peace that you experience only for a while. Because as the months and the years start to go by, things changed a little bit. That's the last one. Oh, I got my ending statement. Remembering the holidays. The spirit and what that represents. I hope and pray, as I do often, that every day could be like Christmas. And that every day could be like that Last Supper day. That's what I pray for. I pray that each and every one of us will become an instrument of that peace. Yes, we do intercessory prayers for our loved ones. But then you got to remember that our Lord and Savior, God Himself, knows of your pains. He knows what you're going through. Every now and then we remind Him, but He already knows. He already knows your heart. He already knows your concerns. He sent His Son here who took on all those concerns and your sins. What you have to wrestle with on this Christmas holiday is how much of the pain are you willing to bear? Now, there's not one man in this room to say, I will substitute my wife's pain. I'll take on all of her pain. You wouldn't do it. You say, better her than me. But the pain of getting peace is costly. We can talk about our piece of freedom. Costly. Talk to the Ukraine's peace and being free is costly. No, you can't go to Amazon and buy peace off of Amazon at some mall. You can't buy it. It must be earned. And that peace is only earned. That peace is only earned when you get into the Word of God and you understand the Word of God and you understand what your calling is. The birth of Jesus, we already know what his calling was from the moment he was born into this world. The prophets testified of it. They said, it's right there. He's going to become a sacrificial lamb. There's our peace. Unfortunately, a lot of us would rather look at a Sears catalog, I'm dating myself, than to spend some time in the Word of God. An unfortunate reality. So I want you to meditate on that. When you're talking about the peace that you seek, what is that peace? What does this birth represent to you? What is it? And that's a question between you and our Lord and Savior. I know what it represents to me. Let us pray. Precious God, Father God, Father Lord, Father God, oftentimes we spend a lot of our time thinking about this and that. We spend a lot of time, monies, and efforts this time of year, O God, particularly, that we may go out and purchase gifts and items, that we will send out postcards with nice fancy saying on them like, oh, peace on earth, goodwill to men, holy night, silent night. But behind all of that, oh God, I just hope and pray that as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, then what that birth represents, oh God, I just ask in Jesus' precious name, let us move forward henceforth, that we may go out into our communities and be that shining light, be that vessel, oh God. That vessel that you have called us to be, the vessel that you, in our birth, placed us here on this earth. Precious Lord, Father God, as we go about doing your will, doing your work, I just pray in Jesus' precious name that at your appointed time, O God, at your appointed time, let us reassemble in this holy place that we may testify of your goodness and of your mercies. That we may testify how you, O God, has prepared us, that we may go out and give birth, a new birth, if you will, to what it means to follow your Son, what it means to pick up our cross, what it means that we must too go through some labor pains. We thank you, O God, for this day. I thank you, O God, for allowing me to even be here that I can talk to my brothers and sisters, that we may fellowship. I thank you, O God, for all of the good days, the bad days, and the days to come. Ever mindful, O God, that I am here to do whatever you ask. Not my will, but yours. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.